ready?
Well, come on.
Monday morning, of course, we're ready. We're ready for our guy. Here it is, Mark Dominic. That's right. Every Monday morning here on First Up, the former general manager of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Mark Dominic, joins us on the program as he does right now. What's going on, Mark? How you feeling?
I'm feeling pretty good. Amazing games yesterday. Some huge offenses, a couple defensive performances, and I don't know. Giants are 3-1, and I'm still trying to figure that out.
With no quarterbacks and no wide receivers.
So I didn't want to make this our first topic, but because he said the Giants are 3-1, and he talked about offense, I got to ask him, what is he more surprised at? The Giants being 3-1 and not having much offense, or the Lions being 1-3 and having the best offense in the league?
Yesterday, right, the Seattle game, there was over 1,000 yards on the field in that game. That was unbelievable. It was unbelievable. And all Jets fans are like, why was this Geno Smith not playing for us a long time ago when we drafted him? Like, Geno Smith's playing way above what I ever thought Geno Smith could play. And I know he's got a lot of experience, but yeah, that game yesterday, that was a fireworks display. And, you know, the thing that you're saying, it seems like an upside down world. Lions number one offense and Giants, you know, 3-1 and tied for first place. And Saquon Barkley's, he's back. He looks unbelievable.
Well, they might play him at quarterback now. The Lions, they lead the league in points scored at 35 points per game. They also lead the league in points allowed at 35 points per game.
Yeah, is that a good thing? Like, I think Dan Campbell they lost to Seattle at home. I can't imagine he's happy, but the offense looks great. And keep in mind, like, they were without Amon Ross St. Brown, DeAndre Swift yesterday, and they still were able to move the ball. Seattle's defense isn't any good, but I mean, the Lions are probably the most entertaining team in the NFL right now. It's been pretty crazy to watch, Mark.
You better start your guys. If you play the Lions, you got a Lion, put them in fantasy football because you know it's going to be a good day.
Yeah, no kidding. And the same would apply to the Kansas City Chiefs, who put up 41 points last night. Patrick Mahomes, I mean, they just torched the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who had the top scoring defense in the NFL heading into Week 4. And people are asking the question, the Chiefs are doing it in a much different way than they did last year. They spread the ball around. They use all three running backs, all their receivers, all their tight ends. Is it possible, Mark, the Chiefs' offense is better now than it was even last year?
I don't feel like it's better. I think it is more diverse. I think to your point, you know, it's good to see like the young rookie Sky Moore start getting some targets and he's worked himself in earning that. Certainly they found a way to do the 1-2 punch with the running backs to give them an opportunity to not only just use Clyde Edwards-Helaire in the running game, but also still keep him involved in that passing game. I know he had the little pass for the touchdown yesterday, but he's a big piece of what they want to do. But I think that it's balanced, to your point. I think that's what you see in Kansas City. And I also, even though they played, obviously, Tom Brady, Tom didn't have any turnovers, anything like that. I think defensively, Kansas City is still a better team than they were. And I think that's the difference than a year ago. I think they're a little bit better defensively than they were a year ago. But I think they are a little bit step back because they, you know, you look at Tyreek Hill every week and you realize what you're missing. I mean, it's real, but they're overcoming it quickly.
Mark, we're about to complete the week 4 of the NFL season after the game tonight that has San Fran hosting the Rams. But based on what you've seen so far, who would you classify as the best team in the NFL when you really have three to choose from? The Kansas City Chiefs, the Buffalo Bills, and the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, you know, I want to get on that Philadelphia bandwagon. I'm just not there yet. I want to continue to watch them play a little bit longer. I'm impressed by them. You know, Buffalo, that was a very difficult game as we all watched them try to fight through. And I think Harbaugh, he can say what he wants to at the end of the game. He'll cost that team that game.
It was the wrong call.
100%.
Wrong call.
And you cannot go to the podium and tell me it's going to give you a better chance to win to go for the touchdown. Well, yeah, but it depends on the situation of the game.
And normal conditions, too. Like, yes. Come on.
And this is, you know, it's the Buffalo Bills. And if you're telling me I can have the game tied at 23 or I can be up 3 points against Josh Allen, he has to score a touchdown or I still get the ball back again, possibly, I'm taking that every day. As much as it's aggressive and, you know, analytics and all that, forget that. It's the Buffalo Bills. And so, you know, Kansas City's played really well. I'm still a Bills believer. I know that they had the hiccup against Miami and everything like that, but I still think the Buffalo Bills are the best team. And, you know, even yesterday, guys that haven't stepped up, I felt like I saw Tim Settle play a lot more yesterday and be disruptive. And that's if you can get more penetration on that interior defensive line, that's going to make a huge difference for Buffalo down the stretch.
Yeah, I just hate the fact that weather played a factor in that game because it really robbed us from how much better that game could have been if, you know, the normal conditions, and you had the offense in Baltimore and the offense and with the Buffalo going head-to-head at each other. But, hey, There's the elements that we deal with. But you mentioned the Miami Dolphins, and I think this is a big topic in the NFL that they're about to face this year, this week, considering the Tua Tagovailoa situation that we all witnessed on Thursday with him suffering his second concussion, and an ugly one, to say the least. But you saw the NFL take their stance. They fired the independent neurologist. But how much uglier is this going to get for the NFL and the Miami Dolphins?
Well, I think what you're going to see, and you know, you brought this up last week. You talked about, like, Mark, what would you do as a GM? Like, what do you do? And you got to trust your doctor. You got to trust the independent. And then whatever they say is kind of the, what you do.
Yeah.
And I think what you're going to see is, like, Tyrod Taylor, you know, you're not coming back. Like, I think you're going to see even a heavier emphasis on, you know, the protocols being tighter, tougher. And one of the things you're supposed to be doing up there is not only are you taking him in that independent neurologist tent, the little blue tent that they all jump into, but there is a guy upstairs or a girl upstairs watching the video. They're supposed to watch the video, watch the play, watch the reaction of the player, and also call in and give their determination. I think you're going to see a much tougher stance quietly. There's not going to be a memorandum. It's going to be individual phone calls, I bet, from the league office to the owners. Owners are going to take that down to the general managers. General managers talk to the coaches. And because they don't want to say, hey, we're going to put an emphasis on this because it looks wrong, right? Mm-hmm. You can't do that. So it's going to be a connection from 345 up in New York where the headquarters are to all 32 clubs saying, by the way, if you get a concussion, more than likely your guy's not coming back. Just be prepared for us to be even more. And so I think that's what you're going to see going forward is much tighter, but there's not going to be words of it. No one's going to say, we're going to tighten things up now. We're going to make sure that the protocols run properly, and that's what you're going to hear coming out of the league office.
It's almost like they're going to take the decision right out of the player's hands. We saw it a lot yesterday, too. Anytime there was a head incident, it's like, okay, you're out of the game. You're not coming back. And look, we can sit here and debate what happened, whether the Dolphins, you know, tried to downplay the injury. I mean, calling it a back injury, I think most people would say he did suffer a head injury, and clearly he did suffer it, considering 4 days later he suffers, a same incident that puts him out, you know, in a serious, more serious condition. But let's talk about Tua the individual right now, because clearly this is more than just football. What do you think the significance of this is for him health-wise? Do you think we even see him again this year? And you know, is there concerns about him for playing football for the rest of his life now?
Yeah, I don't feel like it's going to be to that extent. I think what you're going to see is Tua is probably going to miss 2 or 3 weeks, 4 weeks, and they're going to take him through everything in terms of, you know, the concussion protocol you have to go through, but also being, you know, with kids gloves, making sure that, because if you see a third one on a milder hit, because that's what you don't want to see, is the concussion become easier and more consistent.
Well, and that's the concerning thing about this one. I mean, he just banged his head off of the ground. Could you imagine a more severe blow, with a hit?
Yes. No, that's true. And I think that's what you've got to, you know, debate upon. But I think what you'll see with Tua is, I don't think that Tua's not going to want to sit down, but I understand you have to take it out of the player's hands. But I think what you have to do is say, hey, look, for 2-3 weeks now, we're not putting you on the football field. It is what it is. I know we're 3-1. We're having a nice season, but we're going to sit down for 3 weeks and just make sure that you're 100%, you know, normal, or you don't feel underwater. And, you know, they play the Jets, you know, they do play the Vikings, and they'll play the Steelers over the next 3 weeks. So there's games that they can win and still be in it and not feel like they're giving up everything. So I think that you're going to see him down for 3 weeks, and just to have the court of public opinion, but also talking to Tua and his representative to make sure that everybody feels like it's safe to put him back out there.
Mark, we're awaiting word on the status of Dak Prescott this week. The Dallas Cowboys traveled to L.A. to play the Rams, and Cooper Rush, 3-0 as a starter.
4-0 as
a starter. Well, 4-0, but dating back to last year, 3-0 this year. And I know some people are looking, oh, quarterback controversy, which I think is preposterous, to be honest. Dak will be the starter when he's healthy. I will ask, though, considering the success that Cooper Rush has had, and they're winning games, albeit against the Giants and Washington. I mean, like, whatever. But still, maybe this gives Dallas a little bit more caution in returning Dak too quickly. Do you think that's an idea that you would embrace, or they'll just put Dak in whenever they deem he's ready to go?
Yeah, I think I'm a little more cautious. I might buy one more week, understand that playing the Rams. And then I've got all the way to Monday night, right? Or the Sunday night game, excuse me, against Philly. And that's a division game. They're 2-0 in the division right now. In the end, if they lose to the Rams, or, you know, whatever happens, could that have something to do with, obviously, playoff implications in the NFC? Yes. But beating Philadelphia is going to be the reason why they can win the division. And if they can go 3-0 in their division already by middle of October, that's a huge step for this football team to be the number one seed coming out of the East, and at least knowing that they're going to have at least one home game, if not possibly two. So I think I proceed with a lot more caution here. I think Jerry Jones is going to Jerry Jones it. But I think if I'm that organization, if I'm a voice in that building, I'd say, hey, look, these doctors better be sure, because I'd rather lose a game or keep him off the field for 1 week than have another setback and lose him for three or four.
Well,
and I don't want that.
No, for sure, for sure. And we'll see the Rams tonight. It's the Rams and Niners. Yep. Looking forward to that one. I'm pumped up for that game. That should be a good one.
Mark, go buy your Billy or Bailey Zappi jersey.
Yeah, good idea.
I got to get one of those real quick right now. It was an amazing day yesterday with all the different quarterback situations and what happened. And, Kenny Pickett out there, he still doesn't have an incomplete pass yet. If you saw the box score, if you watched the game, he was 10 for 13. The other three were interceptions. So that guy's never had the ball hit the ground yet. He's amazing.
That is, yeah. It's very Mike. That looks like a Ben Roethlisberger. That's a good follow-up.
It's Pickett time
in Pittsburgh. Thanks for doing
Pickett the Pickens. You got it, guys. Have a great week.
See you, Mark Dominic, the former GM of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and our Monday morning NFL analyst here on First Up. The final hour of First Up coming up. We've got Steve Phillips, our MLB analyst. We spoke to him earlier about how the Jays should proceed here. Final three games of the regular season with the playoffs right around the corner. And we'll get to our winners of the weekend, including some members of our team here at TSN, TSN Edge, with a huge win and an epic celebration. All that and more coming up in hour four of the show next.